Good morning. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer in Long Beach, Washington, here after Deadline, our KMUN conversation show with interesting people up and down the coast. With me here this morning by phone is Craig DeBlanco, who is executive director of the Coastal Community Action Program with their primary office in Aberdeen. Thanks so much for joining us, Craig.
Thanks, Matt, for having me. Great to be with you.
Craig and I just met for the first time the other day, and I thought it would really be interesting to have a discussion about CCAP, as it's more commonly known. CCAP has become more of a presence on the Long Beach Peninsula and in Pacific County in general in just the last, couple of years, I guess, although you've been there to some extent or other for quite a while, I believe, Craig.
Yeah, that's correct. Last 2 years, I think we've expanded our services significantly, especially in the South County area.
Mm-hmm. I thought before we got into sort of the real meat of some of the interesting issues and services and, problems, everything that you're involved with up and down the coast, that we'd just say a little bit, describe for people what a community action program is, and maybe you could give us just a little 30-second bio of yourself while we start out too, please, Craig.
Sure, no problem. Let me start with myself real quick, get that out of the way. So I live up here in Aberdeen. I went to Aberdeen High School, graduated from there, went to Grace Harbor College for 2 years, and then St. Martin's College for 2 years, and then played a little bit of golf. That was my thing growing up, and so I played golf as a professional local club for a couple years, and then decided to get a real job, and took the degree I had from St. Martin's in finance, and worked as a stockbroker for a little while, and then about 14 years ago got involved in the social service world. Started out at Evergreen Counseling Center in Hoquiam as a business manager for them. Then in 1999, I took a job here at CAP as the finance director. Did that until September of 2010, and I have been the executive director since September of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of my story. Briefly, have three kids, and we're one of the families that chose to come back to the coast and raise our family here. Most of the young people that grew up around here, they move away to the city and never make it back. We chose to come back, and really we are committed to seeing our communities do well, and specifically with my job in the at the CAP agency here, it's part of a bit of a call to serve and help those that are in some sort of need. CAP itself has been around since about 1967, Coastal CAP. There's a lot of CAP agencies or community action agencies in the state of Washington. I think there's about 32 right now. They cover all areas of the state. Our community action agency happens to cover Grace Harbor and Pacific counties. Although we do have a couple programs that stretch a little bit outside of that, but that's really our area that we've been given. We are a social service agency, a 501c3 nonprofit. We have a board of 18 members. It's a very large board. Interestingly enough, one of the things that is part of the makeup of a community action agency is the style of board that we have. It's called a tripartite board, and what that means is that there are three parts to our board, and the board is made up of one-third elected officials, one-third representatives of low-income of the low-income community, whether it be by agency or that they might be low-income themselves, and then one-third that represent the private community, the small business community, or any other community member that has a passion for helping low-income families and those in need. So that's kind of one of the identifiers of a community action agency. All the community action agencies have that board set up. It's just part of who we are, and I think it helps. We currently have Lisa Ayers from Pacific County, who is our elected official representing Pacific County on our board right now. And she's done a good job representing Pacific County to us. Before that, we had Clay Harwood, and he did well representing Pacific County as well.
These are both the county commissioners, county for those who might not know.
Yeah, that's correct. So CAP agencies, really, the goal of them is to take the programs that the federal government or the state government come up with, and we make them work on a local level. Really what they do is they provide one set of administrative function for a whole bunch of different programs. And that's the real beauty of community action, where rather than having 15 or 20 little agencies for every one of the grants that we have spring up, we're able to take one administrative function, one executive function, and one insurance policy and one audit, and administer a whole bunch of different grants under that. And it gives us the opportunity to spread those costs over many, many different grants, so no one grant has to bear the expense, and allows us to be a lot more efficient with the public dollar that's being used in the community. And so really that's the goal of a community action agency, is to take those programs that the government comes up with and to make them work well. Now, our agency specifically, every agency is a little different in terms of what programs they administer. Ours is really focused on low-income families and seniors and people with disabilities, as well as families. We have a lot of focus on families, so, that's really our main goal, and we emphasize those in the programs we offer, but also just in our core values and our vision.
Mm-hmm. I thought we'd devote a good deal of the second part of our conversation this morning to talking about kind of the local implementation of those programs that help the needy and the elderly and disabled folks and community in general. I thought we'd start out more with sort of the way in which this particular CAP is especially unique, as far as I'm aware, and that is that you have become the lead agency and very involved in a wind energy project that straddles, I believe, the Pacific and Grays Harbor County line. We've had a good deal of coverage of the wind turbines and their installation in the Chinook Observer. I'm not sure our listeners in Clatsop County will be quite as familiar with it. It's a huge area of subject matter, and we're not going to get to it all today, but I thought we could at least talk about how this particular Coastal Community Action Program got involved or thought of taking on such a massive project, and just some of the interesting stories that have come around as you've developed that project and how it's going and where it goes from here. So why don't we take it one piece at a time and start out with just describing how that idea got started and how CAP got involved with it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Back in 2000, I believe it was, or actually maybe 2001, it's been a long time, about 10 years ago, the project idea was formed, and that was to help low-income families with their power bills by taking advantage of a little-known law called the net metering law that requires that a utility allow a small generation to connect to a meter. And it runs the meter backwards on behalf of the customer, and that's it works nicely in small scale wind. That was the original idea that was presented to us way back when, and we took that idea and we said, well, shoot, maybe there's a way for us to become a little bit less dependent on the federal and state governments and do a little bit bigger project to help supplement some of our funding and maybe create new pots of funding or whatever. And so what we did is we began the very long journey. I don't think we anticipated it being quite as long as it ended up being. But we began the journey of educating ourselves on whether or not this might be possible. There were a lot of times when it looked like it was absolutely impossible, for sure. But we began slowly but surely without very much money. And then we, all along the way, had a few times where we would come across a little grant here or there that could help us out. And then some good people that helped us out. There was just some real key people that stepped up and at the right times provided us with different things that we needed so we could get some studies done and the like. We walked our way through, to now where we have 6 megawatts of wind power standing in Grayland. It was quite a journey, but we're pretty excited. And I think that, Matt, the key to this project, a lot of people look at it as a renewable energy or green power or wind energy, and it certainly is that. But for us, it is first and foremost a social service project that just happens to use wind energy. And we've tried to keep our eye on the prize, which is to not get distracted by, energy production and all that, but to stay true to who we are, which is a social service agency that is committed to serving low-income families and seniors and the like. And this is just one of the tools that we've been able to use to help us do more of that in the future. And we're hoping that with this money, we can either offset cuts that may be coming, or we can maybe customize some programs. Because sometimes the federal or state government will come up with what they think is a fabulous idea for a program in a community. And it's pretty tough to implement in our community because of the specifics around our community and our need. And so this allows us some unrestricted dollars, and we're pretty excited about that.
Put 6 megawatts into context, if you can or know right offhand. How many houses or, what would be a measurement that people might recognize more as, just exactly how much electricity is that?
Sure. When our project is going full bore, it'll serve a couple thousand homes. Mm-hmm. If it's going great, the average is about 750 homes when it's just running on its average pace. But that is because the wind isn't always blowing as hard as other times or whatever. But when the wind's blowing good and hard, it puts out quite a bit of power. Mm-hmm. But we average about 750 homes at any given time. And one of the cool parts about our project is that when the power comes online, if the listeners are familiar with wind farms in eastern Washington or eastern Oregon, it goes through a transmission process and then it goes to either western Washington, western Oregon, or California, and you never know where exactly it ends up. Well, the cool part about ours is it's actually going right into the grid distribution wise to the houses and residents and businesses that are right there by the wind farm. So they, anytime those wind turbines are turning, they are getting their power directly from mm-hmm. wind.
Homegrown power.
Right? Yep, kind of cool.
That is really neat. Tell listeners a little bit about the physical setting of the wind farm. What does it look like? What is the locale there?
Yeah, so we are right on the county line. We have 2 turbines in Grace Harbor County and 2 turbines in Pacific County. If you go to County Line Road there, just off Highway 105, you'll see us right up there. The great part about the project when you're up there is the view is spectacular. We can actually see the hills above Seaside as well as the Olympic Mountains all from the site. It's really quite a view. The ocean is right there. It's about a mile from the ocean, and it's quite a backdrop. It's on a third generation clear cut. We didn't have to clear very much land to put the project in. One of the great parts about a wind project is they don't have a very big footprint,
mm-hmm.
and so that's good. It's just a beautiful site. A lot of people go up there and say, "Wow, this is a million-dollar view, and it really is, especially from the top of those turbines.
It's
quite a view. But, yeah, it's very nice. And, you know, Matt, when you go up on top, because of the nature of our project, we're not, you know, a Fortune 500 company, big business coming in and trying to do something. We really are a small local organization that's just, you know, doing this to serve our community. You get a sense of something special, and I know that I've been involved in it, so it's probably a little more special to me, but I've had a lot of people say to me when they come up over the hill and you get on site, there's just a special feeling about this project that's just really unique, mm-hmm. and I think it has to do with what it's all about and what it represents to this community.
Mm, that's really meaningful. With me this morning is Craig DuBlanco, who is the executive director of the Coastal Community Action Program that's based in Aberdeen, but which serves both of the southern coastal counties in Washington State with a variety of services. I thought we'd take just another, 4 or 5 minutes here on KMUN this morning and talk about the wind farm project, and then we'll turn and talk about all the many other things you do in the remaining few minutes that we'll have. With regard to the wind turbines, how is it working out financially? Is it seeming at this point, and granted it's still very early on in the process, they only came online last year, but is it going to work out from a financial standpoint for CCAP?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, literally, I think, that we get asked quite a bit. And the answer is, yeah, actually. You know, we did about 4 years of wind study up there. We had, because it took us so long to develop this project, we had the opportunity to really study the wind well, and then we took a very conservative approach to the wind resource. And given all that, we have been very pleased. We bought GE turbines. You know, every turbine has an efficiency rating and all that, and we took and we modeled our project with what GE has as their power curve, is what it's called, and that's their efficiency. And so far, it has exceeded what we expected. Now, mind you, we've had a pretty rainy year, mm-hmm. so that's good. And, you know, it's really hard to know until you've been through a whole year of production and that. So we still have more to learn before we're certain. But the months September through April so far, September through March, because we've got March complete, have been very good months for us, and we're really pleased at how it's come out. We have occasionally there's one turbine that's not online, and we have one systems issue we're still working out right now. That's going to allow us to produce even more. And I think next year we're expecting even better numbers, but it certainly has met our expectations up to this point. We're pretty excited about that. Now, it could be that May, June, July, they end up being really bad months, and I eat my words a little bit here because, you know, we don't have a full year under our belt yet. But so far it's been good, and we're very, very pleased. And, you know, part of that, I think, is the fact that we have what we consider to be the best turbines in the world. We were really pleased to be able to partner with an agency or a company like GE. I mean, they're one of the largest companies in the world, and an American company at that. And we were really excited to have a project like this include GE, and they've treated us really well and worked with us. As has Grays Harbor PUD. You know, they're buying our power. And they have been a great partner as well. At times we've called them like a big brother on this project, mm-hmm. where many times they've stepped up and you know, kind of redirected our bus a little bit here to make sure that we were on the right path, because there's a very steep learning curve for us in this whole process.
Now, you have four wind turbines currently. There's another project that's been... It's been floating along for quite a while now, the Radar Ridge project, that's entirely separate, but it's had a lot of problems so far winning environmental approvals because of it being in prime territory for marbled murrelets, an endangered seabird that nests in mature old forests along the coast. And you were telling me earlier that with regard to your turbine project, that another way in which it has proven to be better than anybody envisioned is that you've observed absolutely no bird or bat mortality at the site.
Yeah, we're actually thrilled about that. We have a firm that's been surveying our site regularly, and as of this day, we're pleased to report that we haven't had a single mortality that we're aware of at that site, and we're thrilled about that. And they've been looking for any sign and every sign of something, and they can't find anything. And it's been thrilling, considering the fact that the big concern on our site actually wasn't as much the murrelet, because we only have four turbines and it's not a heavy murrelet area, but more so the bats in our area. There was some concern over that, and the prediction was for there to be some bat mortalities, and we're just really excited that it hasn't happened yet. And I'm sure that at some point in time there will be, one or two or something with the bats, but we think that we have a good site. We think that our wind regime works really well with when the bats are out, and so I think it's going to be a real positive for
That's
us.
That's neat. Well, before we run out of time, let's talk about some of the programs, particularly those here on the south end of Pacific County. You're probably best known in Ilwaco and on the peninsula in general as being the meal provider at the community building in Ilwaco, and also delivering home meals for people who need that service. It was for a long time provided by an entity called PACE, a local group of which I was on the board, and for a variety of reasons that we don't have time to get into here, CCAP was asked to step into that role and took it over entirely at the beginning of this year, I believe. Talk a little bit about how that's going, what exactly you do, and how people can ask for help if they need it.
Yeah, sure. So you're spot on that we have taken over quite a few of the services that PACE provided, including the nutrition services. I'll start there. The congregate site, what we call a congregate site, the kitchen there in Ilwaco, is doing well. We were fortunate that we were able to retain several of the PACE employees and keep them employed and connected with the seniors that they serve. And I think there was already strong relationships there with the seniors, and so we wanted to do our best to keep that in place. And they're doing a great job. They're serving meals 5 days a week. They're serving the home-delivered meal routes as well. And we're doing our very best to keep that up and going, and I just have to say that our staff has done a great job, doing whatever they can to keep the cost down. It's the downside to the nutrition business is it's not a moneymaker, as PACE I think found out, and it's tough. It's a tough business because the vendor rate that we get reimbursed from the federal government is very, very low per meal. But these guys have done a great job, and we're glad that we're able to step in and keep these vital services going for the community down there. I think I don't know how many exactly we're doing on the home-delivered route, but that's such an important part of people's day. And obviously the nutrition value, but also having somebody check in on them and to make sure everything's okay. So for a lot of people, that's their only contact in a day, and it's very important. And so we continue that service. And then what we did is we had a little bit of a home care service down there in the South Pacific County as well. And we had been a company that had done that, but as PACE stepped away from that, we were able to pick up that as well. And that's, the home care business is one of the ways that we get the best bang for our dollar in terms of the tax dollar, because we're keeping people out of a long-term care facility, which saves the taxpayer just so much money. I think that the home care service is vital to efficiencies in our economies and our communities. And
what sorts of things can you do for people?
Well, we do all sorts of stuff for them. We help with you know, a little bit of house cleaning, making sure that they bathe and all that type of stuff. We go in and we just take care of basic needs. We're not a health. We don't do home health. We just do home care, but it takes care of their basic needs. I know we can even take them shopping and do some get some groceries for them and just do things in the house that helps them maintain their independence so that they can stay in their home. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we do. I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, that's it in a nutshell, but there's a lot that we do, but that's kind of a summary. And I tell you, that makes a big difference. And we were able to retain some of the PACE workers there as well, and that's been great. And we've been able to hire some new folk, and the staff down there is just doing, again, a great job. I can't speak highly enough of the staff we have down there working hard every day. One of the things that we've learned about South Pacific County is the folk down there are very committed to their community and the success of their community, maybe more so than any of the other areas we serve. And it's evident in the way that they work and serve and their attitude. And their attitude really is, no matter what it takes, we're going to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Matt, I wish we had a little more of that, you know, around because that truly is. And we come down there. I come down there on occasion. I'm just amazed as I sit and visit with staff and hear the stories of what they're doing. They're doing really good work.
That sounds really great, Craig. We're down to the last couple of minutes, and we still have probably an hour worth of material that we could talk about. You mentioned briefly, and we obviously don't have time to go into any details, but there's a pot of money available right now for energy upgrades. Can you at least give people a contact number? And I'll try to get something into the newspaper about it, too. And I'd also note that we run your menus and contact numbers in the Chinook Observer each week. But tell me just in a minute what the energy stuff is about.
Yeah, so every year the federal government decides what is their favorite program. And one of their favorite programs this year was the Energy Assistance Program. And so we have a little bit extra money left over. It was a very large program this year, $1.5 million, but a lot of that they didn't release until pretty late. And so I think we're down to about $75,000 that we're still trying to make appointments for. And so you can go to our website at www.coastalcap.org, and there's a link there where you can go online and make an appointment if you think you might qualify for energy assistance, and that's help with your energy bill from what would be Pacific County PUD.
Okay.
And also you can call our 800 number at 1-800-828-4883 and ask for energy assistance. And we're just trying to get the word out that we have a little bit more money.
Wonderful. Well, we need to wrap it up, Craig.
Okay.
Thanks so much. And as I said, we'll try to get something in the paper about it soon for people who might be interested. Craig DeBlanco, Executive Director at CCAP, and Matt Winters with the Chinook Observer after deadline today. Thanks so much, Craig, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.